Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, B-Fan Podcast. Thank you for tuning in, and as always, thank you for giving me your time. Today I'm here with
Nick Williams.
And Nick, give a little description about yourself. Introduce yourself.
Well, first of all, thank you, Austin, for having me here.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure. I'm from Mount Laurel, New Jersey, so I'm from the East Coast.
Tight.
Came to the West Coast for school. You know, I just wanted to change the scenery and stuff. This is my dream school since, like, beginning of sophomore year, honestly.
Yeah.
And,
no, make sure you're talking to them.
I got you. And I'm studying business and cinematic arts. I like entertainment and business, trying to get into investment banking. It's a little hard, but, you know, we pushing through.
And what took you there to investment banking?
Honestly, growing up playing sports all my life, I play lacrosse.
Yeah.
It's always been, like, a competitive environment and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of I like that fast pace. You know, you got to earn your spot to, like, you know, be in the game for real. So it's kind of like I look at it like that. And just with it being such a high targeted, like, position by a lot of people.
Yeah.
I like just, like, having to compete for what I get.
Yeah.
So it just makes everything else feel so much better once I get it.
And are you okay with the hours that you're going to have to work as soon as you get there?
See, the thing about me that I don't be speaking in interviews because, you know, like this. But it's like, once I get that first paycheck, like, I don't care what hours, bro. I swear, I don't care what type of hours it is. Like,
you there?
I'm there. Yeah. Like, I'm going to eat, sleep, shower there if I have to. Like, I'm there. You know what I mean? So, especially once I get to really love the job and get it down to a science, like, I'll be chilling.
Yeah.
I'll be chilling.
And to get straight to it, the topic today that we want to discuss was confidence. And I could take it a few routes. First, you want to go to high? You want to start with high school, or you want to talk about confidence and investment banking? We can start with high school and getting.
Yeah, start with high school. You want to start first?
With me? Well, no. This episode is about you, and I'm here to listen. And then I'm gonna open up.
All right,
but go for it, Nick. Tell us about
confidence
in your eyes, or you struggle with it?
Yeah. Like, all right. Forewarning, I'm gonna get deep.
Okay,
so.
For sure. This is what it's here for.
No, honestly, going into high school, I really didn't find my, like, identity. Like, I didn't really know myself for real.
Mm-hmm.
I was always a very likable guy by a lot of people, honestly. I had a bubbly personality that, you know, was contagious, like, attracted a lot of people, like, to me. I was a great friend to others, very loyal, like, on, you know, like, the pillars of, like, what it takes to be, like, in a healthy relationship with anybody, you know, like, platonic or whatever. So honestly, with confidence, I kind of started comparing myself to others, and, like, that famous quote goes, comparison is the thief of joy,
man.
And that's honestly, like, what really brought me down to a low point. In lacrosse, especially playing, like, a predominantly white sport, like, for so long. My best friend, he's black, his name's Nolan, he goes to Wesleyan for lacrosse.
Yeah.
And it was nice to be able to go through all those years with him, like, having another black kid on the team, like, beside me, go through that. But there were times where, like, coaching or, like, just other white kids on the field would just say something that was so, like, come on now. Like, it kind of, like, really
concerning.
It rubbed me the wrong way. Whether or not it was, like, with any type of, you know, stereotype,
or
racial
intention
bias
behind it.
Yeah.
Wait, did you go to, like, a predominantly white school?
Yeah.
And did you grow up in a predominantly white neighborhood?
In my first, like, 11 to 12 years of life, I grew up in, like, what a lot of people perceive as a ghetto. And what I'll say about that is, like, Willow Turn, where I lived,
mm-hmm.
And came home to, like, for the first time.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of got that, you know, oh, people think it's the ghetto, because in high school, people would think I was whitewashed. We finally got enough money and we moved into our first house.
Yeah.
Probably, like, when I was, like, I don't know, like, 13, 14, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I remember people, I had, like, a lot of white friends just because of my sport. I would be around my teammates a lot, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of white people.
And people would call me whitewash all the time, call me an Oreo, whatever it is. And once I told them in conversation.
That's a good one. But go ahead, what you,
like,
told them?
But, like, once I told them in conversation, I'm like, oh, like, yeah, no, I grew up in Willow Turn, and then we moved. And they'd be like, they stopped me, be like,
Willow
grew
Turn.
Up in Willow Turn. And be like, oh, no, nah, oh, no, nah, you're not white. And I'm just like, bro, what do you mean by that? And it's just like, I don't know. But I dealt with that in high school. But back onto the topic of, like, confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, it started with lacrosse. I was, like, put down. Are we at a cuss? Or no?
Yeah, you can.
Okay. I was like, I got a lot of shit from coaches. They would never like instill any type of confidence in myself to go out there on the field and do what I got to do.
Right.
You know? And that honestly like just like destroyed me. I like my biggest dream was like to go play Division I lacrosse at like a big school.
That's crazy. What we hear.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah.
And I was just like crushed when like I started realizing that I wasn't as good as other kids. Yeah. I was always very like chunky. Like yeah. I kind of like hit puberty like pretty late.
Hey,
like,
if y'all see Nick now, he ain't chunky no more, but he a slab of concrete. <didn't>,
Nah, but yeah. So and then probably at eighth grade or seventh or eighth grade, I got arthritis. I got diagnosed with juvenile idiopathic arthritis. A little story with that, like my middle finger on my right finger kind of blew up and my mom kind of like described it as like, imagine like Baymax's finger. Like that's what it looked like. So we went to the doctor and apparently like I think Lyme disease might cause that or mm-hmm. something like that. And so the guy looked at us and he was very concerned. I remember him, Dr. Lee. And he was like, I'm sending you to rheumatology. And I was like, okay. And you know, like, my mom was really sad, but I was just—I was always a go with the flow type of kid.
Yeah,
I was always a kid that would like persevere through a lot.
Yeah,
despite like you know how big the adversity was or anything like that. So, went to rheumatology and they told me I had dactylitis in my finger. And I also had you know I got juvenile idiopathic arthritis.
Yeah.
Had it in my ankles, had it in my wrists, had it in my elbows, my knees, and they had said like if I didn't catch it in time, I would be paralyzed. Like,
are you serious?
Yeah, because basically what happens is with your joints, like they become much more weak.
Yeah.
And if you're not offered the right medicine, your bones will start chiseling away.
Because they rubbing against each other, or
I think it just like kind of decays after a while. Yeah, yeah. Which is like a big part of arthritis and stuff. There's a lot of fluid around your bones.
Okay.
So I had to, you know, stop playing lacrosse for a year mm-hmm. and that kind of, I had to like get my health right back in check. So stopped playing, went on like Enbrel, which is like a needle like shot I had to put in my leg. And then I also went on methotrexate. So I was on chemotherapy.
Essentially you were doing chemotherapy.
Oh yeah. Essentially. But yeah, no, I was on a low dose of chemo and I've been on that for years now. And that's why
you still on it?
No. That's why I remember this summer. Like,
oh yeah, that good fun fact.
Yeah. I got off the medicine. I've been in remission for a good time right now. So it's been really good. I'm glad I got off that those shots, because honestly I have like PTSD from
like just the needle.
I remember it would be every Friday. I actually wrote an essay on it and it's called like Fridays, and it's like every Friday I would have to swallow like pills that would like wreck my stomach, like make me so nauseous. I'd have to go into the bathroom, in my parents' bathroom. My dad would rub me down with this like antibacterial soap that every time I smell it now I like gag from it. Like it honestly like really messes with me. And then he would like inject the needles, and like I'd always like scratch it or feel like the little bump that it made after. There were scars on my legs, like, and it just going through that for like years, it was awful.
Okay.
And then by the time I was able to go back to lacrosse, that's kind of when I realized like I really missed a big year with development.
Right. And this was what year?
Probably like eighth grade.
Grade year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's that good turn into like, that's like right before you choose a high school to go to or something like that.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And like that's when they're like get in the weight room. You know, like it's time to start, you know, prepping for high school because like there's bigger kids.
Yeah.
So I really missed a big year of development. That's when I realized kids were faster than me. Kids were better than me, honestly. Yeah. And like my confidence tanked with that, because then I had to give up my dream of like going to, you know, a competitive school for lacrosse. And honestly, that took a really big toll on my confidence, sports-wise, and like in my personal life too.
Okay, so I got a question.
Yeah.
So you say, I know like being injured from a sport does tank your confidence mm-hmm. in for the sport, right? But like, do you feel like your confidence tanking from the sport, low key, had a turnover into your personal life because you identify with the sport of lacrosse?
Yeah, it did. You know, honestly, like sometimes I think it was like a blessing in disguise what happened to me. Like,
yeah, that's what I was gonna ask next. Yeah,
because I've always relied on academics. I was always taking the hard classes, the AP classes.
Right.
So I was always like, you know what? If this is like going to catalyze me to success, it's going to catalyze me to success. I'm going to rely on this over sports anyway. And that was my plan. Like if lacrosse didn't work out, it was always going to be academics.
Yeah.
You know? So I was upset, but once I let it go and stuff, I started not caring too much about it.
Right.
But like, you know, that's kind of when quarantine came around.
Oh man.
And, we, you know, just not being able to like be in school at all. Like, we
friends, those are like very crucial development years.
Yeah.
And I don't think we realize as a society or a world or whatever the case may be that a part of the generation lost out on a very key part of life, which is the introduction to high school. I mean, we got there. We got like a couple months into high school, just getting into the ebbs and flows. But it was like that period to which you would be like failing. You know, that first semester of high school, it's hard to do good. But like when you just like failing, that's pinnacle. That's like a canon event.
Right.
And that canon event was stripped from us and we were handed isolation. And so I think all of that class that was entering high school lost out on very key social skills. Yeah. And we took all of our social skills to social media, which makes sense because it was what we had. But imagine a world where quarantine doesn't happen and an entire generation of kids are able to go to school and interact with each other.
Right.
Shit gets wicked, you know, because that's that's way more connections that could be made. People can have self-realizations earlier. Being in the house, you don't do anything productive with your time. If you're not busy with something, if you don't have any type of organization in your life, you can just do whatever you want. And that quarantine period was sort of a period where we were just floating.
Right.
So, sorry I cut you off from what you were saying. How did you feel during quarantine? I'll talk about, like, my experience. I've talked about it before, but, like, go ahead.
Quarantine was, like, actually, it was a very fun time because me and my group of friends, probably, like, it was 8 of us, we went out every day, like, bike ride, like, everywhere. I'm telling you, like, when it was, I don't even know, like 30 minutes like of a drive, like we'd bike ride.
Yeah.
Like we were out all day. Yeah. And it was almost like my one friend explains, like, oh, you guys were born in the wrong generation. and it was like, that's so true, because, you know, we'd spend all the time outside. Like every month we pick a different sport to focus on.
Yeah.
So like we play flag football, or like we play basketball, and then we play tennis for some time. And then we got into it, like, with these kids from my hometown where we were playing, like, 7v7 and stuff, like, almost, like, get into a fight and stuff. But, like, it was stuff like that that was really good for, like, making, like, getting these strong bonds, like, with friends.
Feeling some sort of togetherness.
Yeah.
So do you feel like that's when your confidence started to sort of start to come in, or?
No. Like, which is, like, I'm about to, like. Bet. So, like, in quarantine too, like going in, I was very, you know, chunky and stuff.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't hitting puberty as quick as other guys and other things like that. So I like kind of developed like an eating disorder, like over quarantine.
What type, like eating too much or like not eating enough?
Like I was bulimic.
Is bulimic when you eat and like, throw up?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was bulimic. I would binge.
Binge eat and then just throw it all up?
Yeah, binge eat. Yeah. And I would like, I don't know, I kind of, it was almost like I was addicted to doing it because I was seeing progress on myself. Oh,
in terms of like just losing weight.
Losing weight. Yeah. Because I have like, I still have habits to this day, where I'll pinch, like I look at my like my hips, like near my
little
hips.
Little muffin top.
Yeah, yeah.
Little muffin top.
I look
top.
At my hips and I'm just like, damn, like it's like, again, you know, little, there's like a little fat like coming on me, and every time I eat, like I always, you'll see me like pinch the fat under my skin, like, and I try to tell myself stop doing that, and like I genuinely still do that to this day.
I get it though.
Yeah, and that's something I developed over quarantine.
Yeah,
I don't really know. It was like I just have body dysmorphia really, really bad.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
Yeah, and like that's why I kind of like want to go to the gym and stay healthy. And, and a big part of, you know, me losing my arthritis was the fact that I was in the gym, like staying active. That's one thing my doctor like literally recommended me like so much. And which is why I feel like I'm out of remission because I started eating healthier.
Yeah.
But like, you know, with that came the eating disorder. And the first thing I heard when we came back from school, back to school from quarantine was like, oh my God, Nick, like you got so skinny. What happened? And it's just like,
you don't even want to know the half of it.
And yeah, exactly. Like, and it just kind of like triggered me because it's like, you know, it's nice to hear that, but it's also like a backhanded compliment because it's like, then I think about, okay, Nick, you kind of cheated. Like, what did you do to really get skinny?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you stop eating, you would starve yourself all day and then, you know, go and eat so much and make yourself, you know, throw up. Yeah. And, you know, trigger warning for people who have eating disorders who listen. Like, but I totally understand it. Like, and a big thing about, like, what I had to understand, like, it's like, when you eat, it's healthy. Like, when you throw up, it's not. Like, you have to eat. And you have to, I had to trust, like, find some trust in, like, that digestive system. Like,
well, like within yourself.
Yeah, no, like, literally a big part of, like, why people have eating disorders is because they bloat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you bloat, it's just because you haven't digested yet. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you expect your food to just break down so fast and just be able to, like, you know, like, you'll be able to go to the bathroom and just, like, get it out of your system. Yeah. Like, so, like, it's not how it works. It takes a little bit of time. So I kind of, like, had to, like, start trusting that. And, like, there are even some times, like, this year already where I'm just like, Nick, don't do it. Nick, don't do it. You feel like you ate too much? Nick, don't do it. Nick, don't do it. Like, you're a healthy guy. Like, you work out. You
do what you do. And what's crazy is, you know, a lot of times you hear that people have to sort of come to terms with their mind. You know what I'm saying? You got to trust the mind, trust yourself, trust that intuition. But what you're telling me is you had to learn how to trust your physical body.
Yeah.
What is that connection like?
It's still hard to this day. And it's like, I wrote an essay actually 1 year ago from today, first semester. It was my final essay for RIT 150.
Yeah.
My topic was human values and beliefs.
Wow.
And what we were talking about was like, I don't know, it was like a research paper off of like, you know, something personal that happened. I talked about eating disorders in like adolescent, like males.
Yeah.
Like, so because, you know, because
that's not something you like hear about or talk about. That's probably a big ass problem. Like, that look, he just made me mad how big that problem is. And I'm just now becoming aware of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
but go for it.
Yeah, exactly. And I specifically talked about males because I feel like it's a big thing in like females, you know, like, and I'm not saying like
it's males good is worse or whatever. Like,
no,
it's just
girls go through it really bad. You know what I mean? In a lot of ways. And like, a lot of it is because, like, you know, the perception from society.
And
like,
especially with all the social media.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's all really bad for you and bad for your health. But, like, in specifically, like, boys, like, it's really, really bad. Like, it was hard to, like, even open up. Like, and I'm opening up on a podcast that's going to be posted to the public.
to the world, actually.
I feel way more secure now to talk about it than I did because I it was something I was always embarrassed about. But, like, I specifically remember, like, every time I'd eat, I'd, like, thank my parents for dinner or cooking dinner or whatever. I'd go upstairs. They continue to talk at the table. And I'd make sure they're still talking at the table, sneak into their bathroom, close the door, put on the faucet so they couldn't hear me. And then I'd go and make myself throw up. And it was just, like, a routine, like
that's
that.
Crazy.
And the way I could ramble about it, it's, like, that's really what I did.
Yeah.
And that's why I wrote in my essay in detail. And it's just, like, it kind of took a really big toll on my confidence just because I'm hearing people call me skinny now.
Or, yeah, so it's like, okay, I've been doing this. It's been working. People have been seeing it. Is it right that I'm doing it? Maybe I should keep doing it to keep getting skinnier. You were like, oh, this is the method. This is the quickest way to get compliments. Even though it's compliments I want to hear, but not in the way that I want to hear them, it's compliments. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to go and do that. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't even know if, like, I was searching for confidence, compliments. I was just searching, like,
for acceptance,
like, or like just to look different. Like, I didn't like how I looked, and I never liked how I looked. Like, I always, like, I'm taking millions of selfies.
I want everybody to know Nick is a really good looking guy. All right?
I appreciate
it. I'll put that shit out there in the world. I don't care, you know what I'm saying? My boy Nick look good. Get at him.
I'm dead. But like, no, I was taking millions of selfies of myself, like, in Snapchat, and it just stored right into my memories. Like, I would never post it. It's just like something I always have to check. Like, am I looking good? Do I look good, like, right now? Like, and it's like a big, like, thing that, you know, I'm still, like, dealing with.
Getting
but I still
past, yeah.
I've started to, like, gain a lot more confidence in myself. Like,
I've been seeing it.
Yeah, like, one of my friends at home, like, kind of just, like, is like, bro, why do you care what people think? Like, it's like, you know, one, who's gonna have the audacity to say something to you?
Yeah, no, not like, to Nick.
Yeah. And two, it's like, you know, do people really care? People are so selfish and into themselves that they're not going to be worrying about, like,
anything that you got going on.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. So it's like, I started realizing that, but also more like, I don't know, I kind of started accepting myself for who I was.
Yeah.
I was always like, I was always very different. Like, I was, I was like,
you stood out.
Yeah. Like, I was always very different. Like, for example, like, your like typical person might like, you know, these hardcore raps and shit. But like, I was over here, favorite artist SZA. Like, and, you know, a big thing in high school, honestly, a lot of people like thought I was like gay. And, that, like, that shit would like piss me off, like rub me the wrong way. But then I stopped giving a fuck. Cause I was just like, bro,
I know I like women.
Like, and it was also like, if that's like a topic of talking, like, you're just immature. I don't know why you're talking about me, like saying all that.
If you're gonna think it, but to go out and be like, I think,
discuss
it with other people is looking sick, man.
Exactly. So it was like that point in my life, I was like really fed up with a lot of people, and that's when I kind of cut everybody off, like kept my circle really small, which I'm really glad I did. But like that all of this was an accumulation to, you know, taking my confidence down.
Yeah.
And I think like a good way I like started building it back up, I have to like thank my mom for it, because she like is the definition of I don't give a fuck. Like, she
tell them where she's from. She's from the Bronx.
She's from the Bronx, New York. You know what I mean? So the BX. So she's very prideful and very secure in herself.
Right.
And
you gotta be when you from there. You can't just be walking around not understanding who you are. Right. You gotta have some sort of identity coming from that type of background. Because if you don't, somebody either give you one or strip whatever you had away from you. But go ahead.
Right. And so I thank her a lot for it. And honestly, just like once I realized like I have potential, I'm actually a good person on the inside. Like,
yeah.
And I realized like, all right, like I look good. Like,
yeah,
you
know, I
started feeling myself a little bit. Yeah. And, you know, like I was like, wow, like, and I didn't want to become boastful. Yeah. Like, cause I don't like those types of people, like the cocky ones. Yeah. Like, but I started realizing that about myself, and like the way I kind of like paid it forward was like I always like, you know, try and reassure people that, you know, or
pay a compliment.
Like, exactly. Yeah. Pay a compliment. Tell them you look good.
Yeah.
Stop worrying about like little things that you can't control. Yeah. You know, it's stuff like that, which makes me feel even more confident in myself.
In yourself, because you like, if I'm able to give out that compliment, I must be feeling it back. Because once you say it out loud, it's coming right back to you.
Right.
So every compliment I give you, I'm giving to myself.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So it was kind of, it's been a long journey with finding my confidence. Yeah. And I'm still finding it, like, in, like, all, I'm trying to apply it in, like, all facets of life. You know, everything I do, schoolwork, interviews, you know, sports, whatever it is.
Anything
I'm going to indulge in. Like, I'm trying to, like, find confidence in and be able to carry myself in a certain way that's consistent across, like, everything I'm
all
trying to
boards,
do.
Yeah.
So it's definitely, like, you know, a work in progress, but, like, it kind of goes back to, like, you know, always making sure, like, you reevaluate yourself, you self-reflect. Like, it's super healthy to do that. Like, are you okay? You know, is this something you really want to, like, do, like, be at this school, at a huge school, you know,
at
like,
a PWI,
with a lot of pressure on your shoulders, you know what I mean?
A lot of nepotism.
Exactly.
Being willing to see opportunities stripped right out of your hands, even if you know you, quote-unquote, deserve them.
Right, exactly. And like, honestly, it's like a big thing, like an umbrella for, like, you know, mental health. Like, mental health really, really matters. Whether it's men's mental health,
women's
or women's, whatever.
Like, babies, kids, children. It's starting to become more prominent in kids, and we aren't getting to it because they're children, so we don't really know what they're thinking. But a lot of these kids are going through, like, a lot of shit.
Yeah. Like, at home, like, recently something just happened.
Yeah. You don't have to discuss if you want to, but I know the story. And just make sure you just check on everybody that you know.
And that's exactly why, like, I broke down the other day and just called one of my friends who's dealt with some things.
Yeah.
And, you know, he went down that path a little bit. And thank God he's still here.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, the little things, like, check up on people, you know, like, you never know
until
somebody is isolated until they do something.
You're right.
You never know. They could seem fine, but they're not fine. Like, it's all a facade.
Yeah.
And it makes me think, like, everything I'm doing, like, sometimes I think it's like nothing else matters, but, like, someone's mental health being stable, like, nothing else matters. It's
and
like,
that's what breeds the confidence.
Exactly.
Not
like
You got any questions for me?
You know, I was about to transition.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Hey, we be on the same page. I love it.
Literally, I was like, about to ask you, like, you know, how has, like, your experience, like, shaped your confidence? Like, because I feel like you're a very confident guy.
Yeah.
But I understand that, you know, you've went through a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I know you went through a lot to where it could have tore down your confidence or just kind of made you scared to show off your confidence.
Yeah.
Like, so I kind of just want to hear, you know, how you navigated your waters, and you know, now you're here and you walk this campus like you own it.
Yeah.
Like
So my confidence issues, I would say, started really young. Like, they were good, like, when I was like 3-4 years old, but I was conscious extremely early as like as a person, bro. Like, I just been extremely conscious for so long. I've been able to think for a really long time. And
yeah, you were probably like the baby that was like, like, oh, awesome. What's 4 times 2? And you probably be like 8. I'd be like, what? It's 2. Like,
yeah. So it's like taking that trend. When you become conscious so early, you become subject to so many experiences in life that you wouldn't necessarily experience until later on,
right,
extremely early. So one of my earliest bouts with it, I would say, was around like first or second grade, because I used to get bullied, bro. I'm not going to lie. I used to get bullied, and it wasn't necessarily a problem because I couldn't defend myself.
Mm-hmm.
It was because my mom said, if I get in trouble at school, I'm going to get whooped, bro. I'm way more scared of my mom than I am of the dude that's over there.
That's how it usually is, though.
Yeah, and I've always been extremely small. Like, I'm 5'7" now. I was like 4'11" in like 8th grade, bro. I was
little,
bro. I was little.
4'11" 8th grade.
Bro, I was short, bro. I don't even remember when I hit the 5 feet. So like, me being this tall now, my family be like, "Yo, he's big." So so being like small and dealing with the confidence issues, because I was getting bullied, I could defend myself, but I was always praised so much. I didn't really have to have any confidence, you know what I'm saying? Everybody
right.
did the confidence stuff for me. They were like, "Oh yeah, Austin's a great guy." I never really had to advocate for myself, except when like I was answering questions and stuff, or like when I wanted to ask a teacher a question, I could do that. But it started to become my identity issue when I noticed I wasn't like my peers around me. And not to say I'm better than anybody or more advanced, but you can tell when one kid's a few steps ahead than the others. You know, I was in like kindergarten teaching kids how to read. Like, Miss Thompson, I swear to God, Miss Thompson would have me teaching kids how to read, and I was in kindergarten, bro. I'm like, what am I That's doing crazy. Right now? And
now I'm telling you, smart as hell. Like, get this man the trusted scholarship,
for
bro.
Real, bro. But it was, where was that? Oh yeah, so it was like the identity issue. I had groups of friends, but I was moving so fast and progressing so fast going forward.
Uh-huh.
It was hard for me to keep up with them, and well, for them to keep up with me. But in my mind, I'm like, am I keeping up with them? Because it's like, I'm always constantly looking back. I'm always like, dang, why aren't they getting this fast? Maybe I'm doing something wrong. Maybe I'm doing too much. So I would dwindle my own light to sort of meet the level of my peers. And that's where I like really cooked myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, things started to spiral downhill. Like, stuff was always going on at home. But I never really understood that things were wrong until I saw what was quote unquote right. There's no correct family home, but a split household isn't like the most stable thing.
Right.
But I'm glad my parents did the co-parenting route, and they did all they could for they look where I'm at. You know what
they
I'm
did
saying?
A great like, job with you.
They did a great job. And so it was just I feel like everything was always getting stripped from me, and I never really had a solid base in terms of like a family. Like, I love my family. We solid as a unit, but I'm talking about like base I can fall back on, because my parents are at work, or my dad's at work when I'm at his house, and he does a great job of like listening to me. Like, I'm very close to my dad, but when he's at work and I'm at school, by the time we get home, we both tired, you know what I'm saying? Neither one of us want to talk about it. So we would connect in those small pockets. He would take me to the barbershop, stuff like that, and I would learn and pick up stuff. But it was sometimes I wish I had more time with him as a kid, and we spent a lot of time, but I wish I just had like more connecting, you know what I'm saying? It seemed like he was always busy, or I was always busy doing the sport. And I love he always support me and stuff like that. My mom the same way. I'm at home, she's probably busy or she's doing something. By the time she get back, she heated, irritated. I'm heated, irritated, or I'm in my room playing the game. So things like that. So it was hard to find like that first line of defense. So I sort of had to start building my own confidence. And, you know, pinnacle moments that I'll discuss is, like, yesterday, actually, in 2016, was, like, when my grandma died.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's good. It's cool. It's cool. And that experience right there really solidified, like, a lot of anxiety in my life. Like, anxiousness became so normal that when I didn't feel it, I thought I was, like, tripping. Because anxiety is like a ping in your chest. Like, you can feel it. Like, it's just sitting there. And I would feel it all the time. I would just be hella anxious, and I'd be like, yo, this is the normal feeling. But when I wouldn't feel it, I'm like, why am I not feeling it? And it wasn't until I was able to, like, start to get back into books and, like, reading to understand what's going on that I was like, I want to get rid of this feeling, because if I don't, I'm
having not enjoyable.
A fucking heart attack.
It's awful.
You know what I'm saying?
It's
and
not
so,
a good feeling at all.
Like, that was up to, like, middle school. So, like, from fifth grade to middle school, I dealt with the confidence issues, trying to figure out who I was. But I was always active and, like, yeah, I want to get better. Like, I did all the Kobe stuff, like, come up with a different identity. I'm going to be him at this moment. I'm going to be that at that moment.
Right.
And I was good at sports, but I didn't really understand how good I was at sports. So I would, like, sort of shoot myself down and, like, play worse than what I know I'm capable of. And that went on for way longer than I would have liked, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and then, again, the being small thing, I used to get really offended when people were like, oh, he's short, because I used to think that used to keep me out of a lot of stuff, because, you know, if we're being honest, the women like the height sometimes, you know what I'm saying?
Nah, bro.
It's okay.
It's like they lower their standards. This is like 6'4", is the first requirement, bro. Like what?
So, like, I'm like, dang, bro, I ain't never
No shade to the 6'4".
We love the 6'4", guys, but, like, it was like, Austin, you're small, you're little, what do you have? What do you have going for you? I had big teeth.
People ask you, what do you have?
No, like, I was asking for myself.
Oh, I was about to say, that's crazy.
That is crazy.
I was about to say, what?
What do you have? What do you have going for yourself? You got big teeth, right? I had to get the braces, you know what I'm saying? So it was like little things, like little things I can nitpick at that were like, this is my weakness, bro.
It's almost like we're like ourselves is like our own biggest enemy.
Yeah, you know right. I mean? Like, just in my own head for no reason. And like, after eighth grade, I was like, yo, no. Like, going into high school, I was like, I need a new identity. Like, I've always been good at, like, making friends, connecting with people, keeping the connections. I won't ditch that away. But what I will ditch away is not fucking believing in myself, not believing in my achievements that I'm having. I was valedictorian, bro. When I was graduating, like, eighth grade, bro, I was valedictorian.
Type shit.
And, yeah, being able to see stuff like
it's
that.
Probably like, this little nigga is valedictorian. This 4'11". This little nigga valedictorian, bro.
Yeah, but that's everybody crazy. Was rocking with me. Like, everybody, like, I pay homage to everybody that's cool with me because they, like, really cool with me. It was me who wasn't cool with myself. And that was destroying a lot of relationships that I had. And, yeah, dude. So, I'm like, all right, bro, new Instagram page, whatever. Now I'm no longer this funny guy, just this goofy guy. I don't want to be identified as that because now I'm about to go into a space where the women are older.
Bro, I wish y'all could see what he just did. He just rubbed his hands together, bro.
But no, it wasn't all about women. I'm going into spaces where people are more mature.
It wasn't all about women?
It wasn't all about women, but women were a part of you know what I'm saying? But sometimes you just need something to get you going. Because, like, I think about women and improve myself and then not care about women anymore. I just use the thought to get me going. And I'd be like, yeah, no, I'm good. I look better now. I just wanted to know I look good. But,
I think that's like a... I think everyone has to grow, and like whether it's in like relationship with your friends or relationships like with your significant other, like everybody has to go through something like to actually grow. Like, cause like I haven't been in like relationships like that in my life. So it's like when I really get into a serious one, I'm not going to maybe know how to navigate it like that much.
Yeah.
And you know, like the people who did, you know, back then in high school, whatever, in their like previous years, it's like, okay, like they know like how to navigate things. They know how to point out toxic, you know, gestures.
Yeah.
And it's just stuff like that. So like I think it's like a healthy way of, you know, kind of like growing as a person and like so, you know, but anyway, sorry to cut you off.
No, it's good. That eighth grade summer was really like a reset though. Cause I was supposed to go to this public school in Detroit called Cass Technical High School.
Mm-hmm.
And I started going to this basketball camp. Okay, my bad, y'all. From like fifth to eighth grade, I've been playing sports all my life. I want y'all to keep that in mind. So I've been playing sports. So I was good at it too, but I didn't realize how good I was. So I went to this basketball camp for the high school I end up going to, right? And the coach there was, I've told this story before, but new people, this is the story again.
Tight.
The coach there was like, yo, what's your name? Or no, he already knew my name somehow. He was like, Austin, what high school are you going to? Because I'm still eighth grade going into ninth grade. It's not declared yet.
Right.
It's not like I'm going to college. So he's like, yeah, what high school are you going to? I'm like, man, I'm supposed to be going to Cass Tech, but I'm not sure. That's where I'm going right now. He was like, all right, I want you to finish your application to the school and come here. And I was like, that was like one of those deciding moments to where it's like, yeah, I could say no and step into this other field where I probably, man, I would not be here right now.
Or you make that decision. It's the best decision of your life.
Right. So I'm like, all right, for sure. So I told my mom, she was like, what? So I'm like, yeah. So we finished the application. I ended up going to the high school, University of Detroit, Jesuit High School, right?
Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit.
Yep. Right.
Yeah, but getting there, it was, now I'm in a new environment. This is an all-boys school.
Yeah.
So now I have no choice but to develop myself. I can't be a little ass kid. I gotta sort of find who I am as a man, because the school develops men. They develop Jesuit men. It's a science to it, and I love it. They don't sit there and do crazy stuff, but they make sure that they are putting you through certain processes to develop you as a man. So I had Catholicism class, I had religion classes and stuff. And it wasn't necessarily the religion that brought me to who I was, but it's like the organization of the religion that made me think about, oh, okay, this is making sense. It's a method to the madness. Like, I had to learn certain values at the school. I had to learn the values that we had. I know I'm in my head, but I don't know how to say them out loud.
No, I don't think people understand how big of a difference of a dynamic it is to go to an all-boys school versus a co-ed school.
Yeah, and so, oh, my bad.
No.
Yeah. I don't want to lose my train of thought.
Oh, no, you good.
I'm sorry. So I went there, and I deleted my Instagram page, and I ended up getting cool with the people there. I had, a really good group of friends. Julian, Jaden, Bryce, Jaden again.
Shout out.
Yeah, shout out to them. I hope I'm not forgetting nobody's name.
Not for real. That's when they really get mad.
Yeah, they'll be like, yo, you didn't mention me on the pod. Caleb, Jonathan, Edrin, all of y'all, bro. Darren, Ryan, they're my guys. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We might not be as close as we are now, but
y'all been through some stuff.
We've been through some stuff. So it's I met those guys. I fell into different friend groups and stuff. But one thing about me is I've never been the type to identify with a group. I've always been isolated. So I think that made it hard for me to build confidence, because it was I had to build it on my own to figure out who I am as a person.
Right.
And it sort of hurt my confidence, because I'm dang, I'm always by myself. Uh-huh. So, yeah, I got to high school. I started to develop, figure out who I was, pick up on things. And, I'm in a new light. I'm in a place where nobody knows me. So I'm let me start it off on a good foot. Kept making those connections, kept making friends, but I didn't I didn't confine myself to one group. I would meet everybody in the school. And it wasn't the annoying kid who's, hey, how you doing? What's your name? Hey, how you doing? What's your name? It's these people will have different experiences with me, and we would just bond off of that. Like my boy Sean DeWitt, bruh, he gave me the pencil that I took my high school placement test with for the high school that I went to. Without Sean DeWitt, I probably would not have got. I didn't have a pencil, man.
It's always the people that got you with the pen or pencil,
bro. Yeah, bro. I'm like, yo, do you have a pencil? Yeah, I got you, bro. He had a drawstring, bro. Went in and grabbed it. I was like, bet. That's my boy. And shout out to Sean, because Sean beat cancer, bro. When we was in high school, yeah. So it was going through that, seeing him with that. Sean is really close friend. I'd say best friend.
Yeah.
My definition of best friend is people I've been through enough stuff with for me to be like, yeah, that's one of my best friends, bro. He up there. I can call Sean for anything. Yeah. But, yeah, so people start to get to know me for this character that I'm building. Dang, Austin's a cool dude. And then they found out I was good at sports, you know what I'm saying? So they're dang, Austin a cool dude, and he good at sports. They're like, okay. And he was like, Austin a cool dude, and he got good grades. What the fuck? And he good at sports. So it was I'm building this version of myself. And quarantine, like you said, was a really big part in that. Because it was I got to the few months of my ninth grade year in. Rest in peace to my good friends that I lost our freshman year, bruh. damn, bro. Titus and fucking Solo, bro. But, ooh. But, yeah. I'm sorry. That was a good little moment of silence. But, yeah. Yeah, we all went through that. I feel like my high school 2027 class was trauma bonded, bro.
For real?
That happened, and then we went on quarantine, bro. So, I like how we ended up coming out as a class. But anyways, I went into quarantine, and I wasn't as confident in myself as I wanted to be. So that's when I just started hammering in everything that I can learn. But I'm reading, I'm watching videos, I'm waking up, I'm working out, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and I'm boom, 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 boom. I'm throwing myself through these crazy routines. I'm throwing myself into these. I'm letting go of bad habits. I'm eating better. I'm figuring out what I like, what I don't like. And I was doing that so I can come back even stronger. You know what I'm saying? Quarantine ends, to make a long story short. Quarantine ends and I come back and boom, I'm still doing good. You know what I'm saying? I hooped. We came back when? We came back like end of sophomore year or something like that. I forget how it go. But I was hooping at the time. Did pretty good with that. My confidence started to grow. I started to get out of my own head. I used to overthink a lot. And I started to learn about the flow state. And I started to learn about breathing and understanding where I'm at. Boom, boom, boom. Not caring what people think. Being able to get into what I'm doing and being able to stay where I'm at, solidify in myself. If Austin believes in himself, then Austin can do whatever he wants. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Sort of got to talk to yourself in the third person. Sort of got to see yourself in the third person so you aren't afraid to take certain actions. Sometimes when I want to step outside of myself and do something I never tried, I'll take myself out of first person point of view and I'll put myself in the headspace that I'm watching myself act out. Now I'm a puppet. I go into whatever higher plane or field that I want to go to, and I look down, I go, okay, now talk to that person. Now walk up to that person and talk to them. Okay, get some information out of them. You need to know this. Share this with them. You know what I'm saying? I start playing the game. And by the time I come back into my first person, boom, I done leveled up. You know what I'm saying? So it's being able to sort of code switch. You code switching with yourself. We are computers. I see the body as a computer. The body is, I see it as a, not, I don't want to say I see it as human and it's like, oh, this, this, and that. Because we are human. We all make mistakes at the end of the day. But computers are human too, if you really break down the definition of a human. A computer is alive, you know what I'm saying? I forget what course I took that taught me that, but a computer is alive. So I can say the same thing. Computers make mistakes too because they're programmed by humans. So me saying I'm a computer is the same thing as me saying I'm a human. I know I'm willing, I'm capable of making mistakes, but it takes me out of that life is so fragile factor into life is a game. I'm having fun. I'm no longer afraid of death. I'm no longer afraid of losing my life or stepping off on the wrong path because I get to make my own decisions. I get to make my own choices. And sometimes when the game throws a story at you that you just can't skip, what do you have to do? You got to go through the story.
Right.
So are you going to sit there and complain about going through the story, or are you going to sit there and go through the story and then reflect on what you learned? You know what I'm saying? How can I sit here and be worried about a situation that's happening that I truly cannot control? I can control my reactions to stuff. I can control, yeah, that's the biggest thing. I control my reactions to stuff. I can choose.
Right. Control the controllables.
Yeah, there you go. And so paying attention to that really helped build my confidence. I remember my sophomore year of basketball, I was going so crazy, bro. I was hooping. And then I broke my ankle. So that happened.
Wait, which ankle?
Huh?
Which ankle?
I think it was my right ankle.
Bro, we both.
I broke mine at my
10th birthday party.
Bro, that's crazy. Yeah, I'd be so sick.
I jumped off the, what was that place called? Pump It Up. It was like this like
bouncy house
place. And I was racing my friend and I jumped down the slide trying to beat her. And I landed on her wrong.
So I was hooping, bro. And then I broke my ankle. So imagine building up your confidence all throughout high school. Now you can, like,
injured.
I use sports as a really big tool to sort of determine my confidence. Right. Because, like, I can be confident in this sport while everybody watching. I can be confident while nobody's watching. If I can be confident while nobody is watching, I can be confident while everybody's watching. So it's like, I use that as...
Yeah, that's a good philosophy.
Yeah, good little indicator right there. So life throws curveballs at you, right?
Yeah.
And once you build your confidence up, life is going to try to strip it away from you to make sure that it's really solid, right?
Right. It's going to test you.
Right. So I broke my ankle, which is, universe, if you listening, that's like a very extreme way to teach somebody a lesson. I didn't You don't have to break my fucking ankle. But thank you for that. But, you know, actually, I think if I didn't break my ankle, I wouldn't be watching the NCAA tournament, March Madness. I wouldn't be watching that tournament. And if I didn't watch that tournament, I would not known of what University of Southern California was. That's when I was like, dang, I kind of like this school.
See, everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, like, I was like, dang,
that's
I like
such
this
a
school.
Small connection.
Yeah.
I was like, where are you going with this?
Yeah, it was insane. And I just didn't think about it after that. I didn't think about it no more after that. And then one day I woke up, was like, dang, I'm about to go to USC. So it was like, if I didn't break my ankle, I probably wouldn't have been in that situation where I'm watching this much basketball. But anyways, season goes by. I think I missed the rest of the season. But the season ended up falling apart anyway. Sean got cancer. Like, what? And then, like, another dude, we was getting COVID left and right. That was, like, the worst year of team, like, anything. But we was kind of doing good. I was kind of, like, proud. And then, like, life just took the team apart for, like, whatever reason. Broke my ankle and gave Sean cancer, bro. Like, come on. We was just trying to hoop. Hey, Sean, if you listen to this, bro, I hope you laughing extremely hard. I might call him after this and tell him. But let me get back to it, bro. So I broke my ankle, man. I'm watching. I'm like, dang, how do I keep my confidence in this? That's when I started doing hella push-ups. That's when I learned. I was going to physical therapy, learning about the body and stuff. So certain things I can be able to tell you because I paid so much attention in physical therapy. So I like to make the most of whatever situation I get. And I think that testing point right there was really like, okay, we could solidify this part of his confidence. We get back junior year. Junior year, I started playing football again, right? And I love football to death. I'm a football fanatic, bro. I sit there and watch it all day. Give me a TV with football on it, bro. I might not leave that room. I didn't leave the room at all last year. Like, during football season, every Saturday, 9 a.m., I'm up, and I'm watching the first game to the last game.
To the last game?
To the last game.
Was it, like, 5:15? Or five?
At 8 o'clock. Or, no, it'd be late game. So, yeah, like, 5.
8:30? Wait, why? We're on the East Coast. Why can't I think of any late games? 8:30 Monday Night Football? Or, wait, what's
No, I'm talking college football.
Oh,
I watch so much college. But, like, whatever late games was on, I was up watching that, bro. So, anyways. Yeah. Back to it. I forgot where I was at. Oh, yeah, no. I started playing football again. And it was cool in essence, but I was doing good. I was training again. I was getting back into it. And I got my confidence up all summer because I'm killing everybody in practice, bro. Austin doing this, Austin doing that. We get to, like, the first game, and I don't play at all. They just don't put me in. We get to the second game, I just don't get in. We get to the third game against Brother Rice. They called my name one time, and I was, like, out of it. Like, I just wasn't paying attention. And it was like, never mind. I was like, yo, I'm done, bro. I'm cooking everybody at practice, bro. Everybody know I'm, like, a really good player, bro. Why am I not getting any reps? I'm like, whatever, I'm done. I was talking to my dad, man. I'm like, I'm cooked with this, man. I'm done, bro. I'm going back to hooping. And he like, all right, shit. Like, he not saying – he know for me to quit is going to take a lot.
Yeah.
And that's another piece that build my confidence. It's like, I know I'm not a quitter. So I'm confident in my ability to finish a task.
Like, it's okay, whatever, you quit, but it's like you weren't being acknowledged. Though.
Yeah,
you know
I
what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like you were playing and maybe you were sitting in the bed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like you weren't, you know, given the opportunity that you thought you deserved. So it's healthy for you to walk away from it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, why are you gonna just like practice? You can't even, you know, put your practice to the test.
Right. And you would think that, right?
Yeah,
but I told you, bro, the universe be throwing the test at you for no reason. I'm like, why the fuck is they sending me out three games?
Thing too.
But like, check this out. Maybe I wasn't ready physically in the first few games, even though I think I am. Everybody on the field think I am, and it might be something else. If I go out there and get hit, bro, I'm cooked. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then the whole season done instead of me just missing a few games. Right.
Right.
And I'm talking, bro. I'm like, I'm not a big talker, but I would talk to my coach Rob.
Mm-hmm.
I fuck with Coach Rob, right? He was my receiver coach in high school.
It's so funny hearing my friends' stories about their coaches.
Yeah, I love Coach Rob, bro. Cool guy. Hope he listened to it. I'm gonna tell him I talked about him. But wait, maybe I won't. I don't know. I might have to text him right after this. Anyways, thanks, Coach Rob. And I'm telling him, like, bro, all they gotta do is put me on, bro. Just put me on the field, and it's up and it's stuff from there. And he knowing, like, he's seeing it. He like, man, they playing with him. So. Very, very tragic situation happened. My boy Chris Mutavi broke his ankle. Like, well, I don't know what the theme is with ankles, but...
No, I was about to say, what the...
Chris Mutavi broke his ankle, bro, right? And he was a big hooper, like, on the team. Like, he was tall.
Oh, for
guy.
Real?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's when they brought my boy Elijah Dotson up. Elijah is committed to the University of Pittsburgh, bro. That's my guy, bro. I love that guy, bro. And he plays at Belleville High School right now. I got to make sure I keep up with the highlights of this season.
He plays football?
Yeah.
Is he committed for football?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
That's my guy. So he was a freshman. So they brought him up and they put both of us on. Like now we both starting on varsity. Like we like, what the hell? Like I had been cool with Elijah, but I didn't really get close with Elijah until we started playing football together. Cause I sort of like took him under my wing. Cause we was both like raw talent. Like he really right. fast. He number one. I'm gonna hype this dude up, bro. Number one hurdler in the country. That's my guy. I want everybody to know, bro. Like
wow.
Elijah Dotson is tough.
Athletic as hell. Dog. What, football, basketball, and track?
Yes, bro. Damn. He's tough.
Damn.
But yeah, so me and Elijah, we starting now, shit. We up, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. First game come, we played against Catholic Central. And I think I caught for like almost 100 yards that game. Everything that was thrown to me, I caught it, bro.
And what'd they say to you after?
They was like, oh, good job. Guess how many times they took me out after then?
None.
Yeah, I started for the next 2 years, right? Yep. So it's like being able to be confident in myself and know and walk the talk that I got. And even when the situation is being stripped from me, right in front of my face, being able to stand through adversity and be like, oh, I want to say that. F you, N-word. It's like being able to be like, yo, I'm here. I know what I'm doing. I'm going to stand here and do it. Reverting back, Brad, like going back. I remember when I was in, what was I, like fifth grade, sixth grade? I was in middle school at some point, and I didn't make the basketball team at my school. And I was like, all right. So I went and hooped. I came back, tried out, made it, didn't play. No, I came back, made it, and like just left. I took a spot on the team and left. Yeah, I took a spot on the team and left. and then became an all-star. And I was like, I don't need y'all. Like, I wanted y'all to know, like,
I do this for real.
Yeah, I had to do it for myself. But anyways, I'm like, bro, I'm going to stand here 10 toes and do what I got to do because I know what I'm capable of, and I know what I want to do. And I want to play football at this school, bro. Y'all give me the opportunity, I'm going to run with it. Because nobody owes you anything, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I had to earn the respect of my coaches. And that's extremely valid. You know, I can get behind that.
And it's like the process of, like, trying to earn that respect. Like, you got to realize you got it for yourself first. And to be able to actually get them to realize it.
Yeah.
It's a constant fight every time. Dude, you go from I don't know, being on waivers to you know, to being in the first wide receiver one, bro.
Yeah,
you like on fantasy.
Bro,
like,
I wore what number did I wear? I wore number 35. Elijah, what number did you wear? I want to say Elijah wore something like 39 or something. It was something ugly. We both had the ugliest numbers ever. And so we was balling though, right? I'm balling this 35 jersey, bro. I'm 135 pounds, bro, going against the biggest dudes.
Wait, let me say something real quick. But like when people are good and they got the ass numbers, that's looking scary, bro. I swear.
Because you're like, bro, what's going on?
No, because like you'll be like, oh, who's the best player? 35. I'm like,
what do you mean 35?
What
position does 35 play? What position does 35? Because
you know if it was like number one, it'd be like, all right, bro.
Yeah.
Like
number 35.
Number 35 is good.
What position do you play?
In lacrosse, that's how it always be. It'd be like some random ass number, like 17. And he'd be gross.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, nah, bro.
Yeah, 20, what's the bad? 20, no, 20 numbers are good. Yeah, number 31 is very good. 31? Like, the hell? No, he ain't.
You're cooked.
Yeah, but, bro. Yeah, bro, I'm wearing 35. I'm, like, skinny, but I'm balling. Nick, one thing I really love in life is a challenge, bro. You get my heart rate going, now we up. I know I'm a calm guy throughout the day and stuff, but little do people know, like, I really be wanting to fight. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really got, like, a fire. It's just all passion within me. And when I get them wheels turning, bro, yeah, I got to play here at the school, bro. I don't think I can go another year with, like, just knowing I'm good at football, bro. But anyways.
Oh, at USC?
Yes, I have to play at University of Southern California. And now that I've said it on the podcast, the world's going to hear it. And then they don't hear it. Nobody's going to believe what I say on the podcast.
I know. I believe you.
Saying, like, I got to make sure they know. I'm being very vulnerable right now.
Wait, what did the coach?
Huh?
The coach?
Yeah, they emailed me back and said, the 2024 season is full. Stay in contact for over the offseason. Yeah. And so I'm going to make sure I do that. Make sure I start training, too. When I get some time. And yeah, so I went from 35. Like, that was a good season. Even though my team was losing, we still had a really good season. Like, my boy Nate, what is your last name? Nathan, what is your last name, bro? I'm looking at you right now, bro. Nate Brown. Yeah, Nathan Brown. No. Nathan Brown, I might be. But he plays at San Diego State
University.
He plays at SDSU or some San Diego State school or San Diego school. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I love that guy. We had a good connection, bro. After that junior season, you would think, like, oh, he's becoming complacent. No, I'm about to run track now, bro. I ain't never ran track in my life. I had been scared to run track because my dad was really good at track when he was a kid. Like, that was his thing. His life was track.
Shout out, Tony.
Yeah, Mr. Tom. Well, dad. But, yeah, I get to the track field, bro. I won a state championship my first year, like, competing.
Wow.
I won regionals, and we were a Division One team. I won regionals, Division One long jump. I think I won with a almost 21-foot jump. My first year ever attempting long jump.
This guy is athletic.
Yeah. And then my team, I went to states. We qualified for states. We won the entire thing. And then we almost went back-to-back my senior year, but we had, like, a lot of injuries on the team. Anyways, after that, I was grinding for football. Now I'm playing for sound mind, sound body. And I'm doing good. You know what I'm saying? That confidence. Confidence is like a tire. You know what I'm saying? You can ride it for oh so long. Eventually, you're going to have to change it and then keep riding.
You're going to have to pump that bitch up.
Yeah, you're going to have to pump it up. If it got a little hole in it, boom, patch it up. Patch it up till you can't no more. And when you feel like it looks deflated, you know what I'm saying? A deflated tire doesn't mean it was a bad tire. It mean it did really good for what it could and ended up giving out. Tires just don't give out. We would be getting tires every day. They right. do all they can until it's boom, it's deflated. And then you got to rebuild it back up. You got to keep renewing your membership on confidence. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to always be with you.
A car can't drive without tires.
That's what I'm saying. So you got to keep renewing your license. Keep renewing your Keep renewing your membership. Keep renewing your tires, bro. Your confidence is tires. You can only drive it so far before it changes, or you're going to have to do something to repair it. So I'm playing for Sound Mind, Sound Body. I'm balling my ass off against the top teams in the country, playing South Florida Express. With the number one players that they got, Brandon Ennis plays for Ohio State University now. I actually want to see him play this season. I'm going to watch the games. Hopefully he gets some PT. Who else? My boy Amari Snowden is on my team. He plays at Wisconsin. Who else? Darius Taylor, I played with him. He goes to the University of Minnesota now. I'm just shouting people out. Anyways, I'm playing with these guys, but I'm still like a no-name type dude. Like, people on my team know I'm good, and Dante Moore plays for Oregon, the University of Oregon. But I felt confident in myself because although I wasn't getting the notoriety or the recognition that I felt like I deserved or everybody else felt like I deserved, if I'm balling with five stars and I'm putting up a good fight and I'm actually winning, then in turn, that makes Austin a fucking five star. Like,
Over here, like, you naming these names, these schools. I'm over here like, who the fuck was you playing with?
Lot of good guys. So,
like, you sound like, bro, I need to watch your highlights, bro.
Oh, let's watch them after this.
Cause I'm just like, what am I? I did not know, like, and I'm hearing these state champion this, state champion that, and this sport, that sport, the other sport. And this man is 5'7", bro. Anything is possible.
That's what I'm telling you. I go at it. So, like, that's where a lot of my confidence, like, built up. Cause, like, I started to take pride in being little and being able to show people, like, did you know I can dunk?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you can.
So it's like I'm being able to show people what I got and then being able to show myself, like, bro, you're balling, bro. Like, keep balling. I love being an underdog now. I used to take extreme, like, I used to be scared to be the underdog. I used to be sad that I was the underdog. But now I'm like, yes, please doubt me.
Yeah, like, please underestimate me.
Look at me
bro.
And doubt me, bro. Please, yes. And so, anyway.
That shit's satisfying when you prove them wrong,
for
bro.
Real. So now it's given for. I've been rambling, but. Football, that 707 season ending is back into the regular football season. I went from number 35 to number one. I now have the number. The jump was crazy. And Elijah Dotson was wearing number 11. And he wears number 11 at Belleville now. I told him.
That's a tough number.
I actually texted him, was like, look, bro, I'm number one, you're number 11. I don't care what you think. He was like, all right, bet. And so now he wears number 11. It looks good on him, bro. It was 1-1-1. Like, we would be next to each other. I was a short version. He was a taller version, even though I was older. But it's whatever. And balled out again. I didn't get, like, crazy offers. I had, like, a couple, like, D3, D2 offers. But I'm also, like, I let my work speak for itself. And in a world like football, you sort of got to, like, reach out. And I didn't utilize the connections that I have enough. But I'm glad I was able to apply and go to the University of Southern California. Because everybody's, like, the funniest thing is, like, when I go back to Detroit, and I say my school, they say, for what sport? Like, no matter who you ask, it's so funny. Cause they
you get it here, too, bro. Yeah, like, I've gotten that. Like, are you here for a sport?
Yeah, what sport you play? No, bro. Like, I'm here for academics. And they eyes, like.
Because we smart, too.
They eyes like, open up, on, bro. And,
yeah.
You know, I take pride in being one of the first, like, graduates of Sound Mind, Sound Body to, like, be good at the sport, like really good, and then go to school just for all academics. Like, it's ways to utilize. I'll talk about this on another episode, but utilize your talents the best way possible. Don't let them utilize you. Utilize your talents. Don't let them utilize you. And so
right.
I was number one. Oh, man, I forgot to tell you. I got cut from the basketball team, too, like my junior year. Yeah, well, because Sonny Wilson goes to Toledo, and he's playing 40 minutes a game, bro. I don't even want to play anymore, bro. Yeah. Sonny got the hit, bro. And so, yeah, so number one, balled out, bro. And I say all that to say, like, confidence is just something, like I said, the tires, bro. And it built up over time, but I had to be willing to start. I had to be willing to start the car. The tires don't move unless the car moving. You know what I'm saying? And you got to start the ignition. You are the car, right?
Right.
You start that ignition.
You got to find the key first, though.
Yeah, you got to find the key first. And then be able to plug in every key that you think work and don't work. It's like we can go deeper and deeper into the analogy. But yeah.
But no, they get the point.
They get the point, dog. So, yeah, dog, like confidence is something like you got to walk around with it like on you.
Confidence
like, on
is your, key.
Yes, bro. You got to walk around with it on your on you. Just walk around. People should know. It should just exert off
you. Aura.
Yeah, it's the aura, bro. You don't have to be like, what's it called, macho or cocky about it. You just got to, I'm walking around, bro. I walk around, bro. I ask you a question like I done known you for 30 years.
Right.
I'm at the drive-thru. I'm like, yo, what's up, big man? How you doing today? Right. Hey, can I? What's your favorite drink, dog? Like, I'm talking to him like I know him. I'm not, can I please get a, can I please get a chicken sandwich? But I'm rambling, dog, so.
No, I feel you though. Like yeah. it's like huge, and like walking, especially being here now.
We're gonna have to do a part two, Nick. This episode is 1 hour.
Oh no, because we can
Yeah, we could go on for. Okay, Nick, we're gonna end this episode, and we're gonna do a part two maybe next week. I don't really care. Okay, I do an episode every Friday. So yeah.
Okay, well let me wrap up.
Wrap it up.
At the end of the day, I think the biggest thing that someone like can go on for like a self journey is just like trying to. Be able to like be secure in them like their own skin. Like they have to, you have to be able to like love yourself before you can do anything else. And I think once you find like the love for yourself, the like all the confidence and everything else will come. So it comes a point where you know you stop caring what people think. You start doing things that you love. You start finding your passion. Once you do that, like everything else will come. So I'm just saying like for people who still struggle with confidence out there, like myself. You know, just trust in yourself, believe in that everything that will work out, and put yourself in positions where it tests your confidence. Because, you know, like, once you get the confidence, you don't want to become cocky because something will humble you. You know, stay humble. Go through every walk of your life being humble, being appreciative of everything that you have. Because, you know, in a split second, your life can change in an instant. So with that being said, this episode on confidence is wrapped a
it's
little
concluded.
Up.
It's concluded.
I appreciate you, Austin, for having me on,
no
on
problem,
the podcast.
Bro. Anytime.
The part two will be run back maybe next week.
For
so
sure.
I'm going to be back.
All right, bet. All right, peace, y'all.